Right back at it on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for two solid hours, two of the fastest hours in professional sports.
Wow. This keeps getting faster.
Really fast.
The way we talk about it.
We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Another off day. It's a huge off day. Mm-hmm. Isn't it, when it comes to at least the Toronto Maple Leafs and our coverage?
Yeah, it is. I think it's worth mentioning that the Leafs, I mean, we're going to get into, they're in a pretty good spot overall generally, but they're pretty healthy right now. And so having an extra day with a relatively healthy team to sort of build up and power up for another kick at the can here, it's a good thing.
I'm not sure how healthy, like, well, Chris Tanev's.
No one's in doubt, though.
No one's in doubt, but Chris Tanev's been like a pinata.
He's been in the dressing room every game at some point, it felt like.
I think I saw a stat that it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rasmus Sandin's taken the second most hits in the playoffs at 43, and Chris Tanev's at 71. I think that's the number I saw. Could be off by one or two, but yeah, like he's just
crazy.
The guy is taking an absolute beating.
Get out of the way.
And think about who it is doing it. It's Bennett. It's Marchand. It's Tkachuk. It's guys you don't want doing
like
it.
Yeah. Every time he goes into the boards, like I hear the sound of an accordion.
Well, the one where he got hit, the one where we thought he was genuinely injured, his shoulder was low when he got hit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of things you can shake off. You can't shake off shoulder stuff out of joint, out of socket, whatever.
Is that what he missed when he missed like five or six games in the regular season, right?
It was shoulder stuff.
So, yeah. I mean, when you're getting pasted in the end glass 10 times a game, you're probably going to have a shoulder.
Career we're talking about, like a dozen shoulder injuries, I'm sure that he's left with.
Yeah. Man, we were sitting there with Bieksa the other day when we played golf with him last week, which is pretty fun. After, I was talking about how often he works out, and he said, if I don't keep working out, I feel all my playing injuries. And he's like, I got to keep at it, or I can feel my broken ankle or my broken leg or my broken wrist or my broken. And he's just like going through this list, and I'm like, what? Good Lord. Like, what is Chris Tanev going to be feeling like when he's 50?
Creaky,
man.
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
Yeah. Here, let me do the quick hits taken thing. Second most hits taken is now Morgan Riley, just ahead of Sandin by one with 46. Sandin is 45, and Tanev is 81.
Okay, so I was I shortchanged him by 10 hits.
35 more than the next most guy.
And those 10 hits, one of those 10 hits would send any normal human to the ER.
Into dust.
ER. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Wow, what a stat.
So if you just assume everybody's as healthy as possible there, then would you have ever considered tweaking the lineup?
I mean, you guys, I think, not on D, certainly not on D, but I definitely wanted to see Kampf come in. I think you don't love Holmberg, or Yarncroc so much you can't get David Kampf in, who's been an impactful player for them at times over the years. Particularly if you're like, yeah, Yarncroc kills penalties. Kampf has been top pair with Marner at times for years. So, I don't know, I'm surprised he's not in. And it looks like no changes, which is why I'm saying he's not in. Am I correct in saying that, Sammy?
Let's listen to the coach. Clip 3, Berube, on any possible lineup changes.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm always thinking about it.
Is there any moves you might make?
Yeah, there's possible moves. You got to look at what are you taking out? What are you putting in? What's the benefit taking these two, one guy, two guys out, putting two new guys in? What are they providing? What are we losing? You know, it's always a combination. You know, you're not, you know. But at the same time, you know, sometimes a change is good.
You know, when you're considering a lineup change, you got to think about who's coming out and who's going in.
That's one of the key parts.
There's also the part
I never really thought about it that way.
There's also a part of it where you got to think about what the guy coming into the lineup brings. What the guy taking out, you're going to lose. Those are the things you really have to think about.
You just explained a decision.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that you put it that way. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. So I had thought, because the lines that they had practiced with today didn't have any changes. I now, hearing the lack of commitment, I'm going to say they do Yarncroc out, Kampf in. That'll be the change they make. That's my prediction. Any quibbles, anyone? Anyone, Robertson?
I just, Yeah. Based on what the physicalities, I'd be real nervous to put Robertson in.
Me too.
So you're down to camp.
Pretty much it. And Yarncroc has given you absolutely nothing offensively. So you're not worried about that part with camp. And I don't think the Lorenz Lawton Yarncroc line has been so good that now you're like, oh, we can't break that up.
They had they were really good through the Ottawa series, but we're now 10 games into the playoffs where none of them have scored a goal.
Yeah.
I think they're eligible to be switched up.
I think you probably go Holmberg on the right wing on that line. So you're looking at Lorenz, Lawton, Holmberg, and then Kampf with Domi and McMahon.
Mm.
Kampf, McMahon, Domi, I don't mind that.
I'm not ever the guy to make a case for Nick Robertson. I'm actually the opposite of that.
I'm torn on this,
can I present just the devil's advocate? I think was you yesterday, Kipper? I just talked to so many different people about this, about just a new energy.
Yes.
And a different vibe. And it's just like, what's Bobby McMahon giving you in 10 games here? He's big. I understand it. He can lay the body.
I don't think he scored. He's
scored in like 20-some games.
Yeah.
It's
really not.
He's been a passenger for most of this. And I like the guy, and he's been good, and he's been giving them value. But like,
you wouldn't take him out over Yarncroc or over
Holmberg. You take out, I guess I understand that. But it's just a different look, a different energy. Like, I understand it's not a physical series, but I'm making a case for Nick Robertson. Maybe it's just because it's an off day and I'm overthinking it.
It is a physical series. Yeah, so I think you meant to say that, right? It is a physical series.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I understand it is.
You cannot give up
size.
40 pounds.
I know. Yeah.
Like you need all the pounds you can get.
Okay.
Against Florida.
The only thing I have on that though is
But the energy, I'm with you on the energy part.
I don't love the energy part, and I don't love the idea of letting fear of them dictate your decisions where you say
no, teams change, they make changes, they make adjustments. JB, we're past fear and we're just managing. We're just managing
a
long stretch of this guy may need a reset. This guy may need some rest. I've got this guy chomping here. I want to put him in. I got to just get a little bit of a different feel. Even seeing a different face in the dressing room. We've gotten dressed, right? Where the music's off.
You're like,
and it's like, yeah, look. And
Nicky's back.
Nicky's back. Clicks for Nicky. And, you know, I got
Clickies
this.
For Nicky.
I got the first goal. And, you know, it's just a little bit of a different feel. Two losses now do that for him. I would for sure think three losses would do it for sure.
Yeah.
But right now, you hear him hemming and hawing.
Yep.
He doesn't know what to do right now on his lineup.
The only other case for Robertson is that, let's face it, Berube likes him.
Yeah.
Berube used him. I think he dressed 60 times this year or something like that. You know, this is not a guy that – he was a regular Leaf. So
the only thing I think he played that kind of bothers me a little bit in this whole 70 thing
– 70 games for Robertson. There you go. Yep.
The part that may end up bothering more, and we'll see how this thing plays out, but like we had conversations in early on Nick Robertson where it was too small, can't play, needs to go to a different team, needs to do this, needs to do that, no plans moving forward. And then plans changed and he found himself in there a little bit, and he got significant ice time. He got chances, 70 games, you just said.
Yep.
He didn't grow. He didn't get heavier over that course of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the point I'm trying to make now is you knew at some point you were going to go up against a Tampa or a Florida.
Yep.
If you kept him and you didn't trade him, and you knew you were going to go into the playoffs with him, and he was going to be one of many guys, then you know what? You play him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. You've decided to bet on this horse.
You bet on this horse.
Him.
You did not trade him. You didn't put him on waivers. You didn't move him.
Yeah.
You kept him. So if the team's maybe screaming for a little bit of a tweak or a change, you need to seriously consider him going in, and I don't think they are right now. And I'm like, okay, then what was the point of keeping him all season?
Why didn't you trade him for a bigger guy that you were going to use in playoffs then, if you're thinking?
Well, I got a couple of theories on that. One is that you typically think that after 10 playoff games, someone needs to come out or get suspended or whatever, yeah. and that you're going to need this guy who's a legitimate NHLer. So it's almost like an insurance policy. The other thing is I think of Brian Burke, who we've had on this show, and he says, he talks about my dad's Islanders team when I've had the conversation with him, and he says, at some point, you're going to play a big team, you're going to play a fast team,
yeah.
you're going to play a smart team, you're going to play a skilled team. You know, you're going to need different horses for different courses, and at some point, Nicky is a better fit for a different course than the Panthers.
So Nick Robertson.
Play Carolina next round? Maybe he plays all seven games.
You know, is that it now? That, you know, you can't play against Florida, but we think you can play against Carolina.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it. You know, golfers put different clubs in their bag for different courses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm throwing stuff at the wall, too. I haven't talked to anyone.
But there doesn't seem to be a ton of options for this club right now.
No, you're right. It's at some point,
right?
If you're going to make a change, he's got to come in. And one thing I do think is he's not afraid.
No.
You know, he's never.
No. He's not afraid. Yeah. He'll go get a puck. I actually think he's significantly less afraid than
some of their players who play.
He'll bounce off of people. He'll end up on his ass. He'll get back up.
Maybe he should be more afraid. You know, he got hurt the first 3 years of his career.
But on the camp thing, which to me is much more of a logical guy to bring in at this point, you mentioned the penalty killing thing. Part of it for me is just to maybe take a touch of burden off Matthews on the penalty kill.
Actually, that's fair too.
Like, he's out there for the first minute every time, and he's already like playing so defensively minded, and everybody's talking about how good could you free up a minute per game of penalty kill with Camp as opposed to Matthews?
I think Florida goes to Barkov and Reinhardt on their second unit.
Who do they?
Right?
Lindell?
Lindell, I see a lot of,
Marchand? Lindell Marchand?
Maybe. Maybe. But
Daily Faceoff has the first unit is Tkachuk, Barkov, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, Jones, and the other one is Bennett, Lundell, Marchand, Rodriguez, Ekblad.
Is that power play?
That's Daily Faceoff.
Oh, penalty kill?
Penalty kill.
Sorry, guys. The penalty kill is Lundell and Lustarainen, and then Barkov and Reinhardt's second unit.
And then he's got the option of Marchand in there, too. I'm so with you, Sammy. Yeah. Like, this is your number one go-to guy now on the offense, and I don't know. I mean,
I'm not saying take him off of it totally, but just give him a little bit of a blow here on it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I him and Marner constantly on the penalty kill, constantly on the power play, and then they're 5-on-5. I think it's stressful.
Can I tell you something that I don't know that I've had this discussion, Ike, and I haven't done the research on it, but when I Matthews in these big games and you talk about pressure and stuff like that. So do you remember the game, I think it was game 7 against Boston when he was young, and at the end of the game, Marleau had played more than Matthews. And fans were irate at Babcock because Patrick Marleau got more ice time than Austin Matthews.
16, 17 minutes.
Freddie the Goat was close to him too in ice time, maybe played more. Yes.
And I talked to someone within the organization at that time who said, look at the shifts. We kept putting him out there. He got as much as anyone. And he was taking like 35-second shifts. It was almost like he didn't want to make the big mistake. He was afraid to make the big defensive error, so he was changing early. Mm. And he just kept coming off the ice. And there are times where I feel like that happens now, where he might be a guy who's just at his absolute best at 19:30 per game. You know, Mitch Marner can play 24 minutes. And he's so positional and thoughtful, and the way he plays is a little bit more, you know, it's not the whole ice. He's F3 a lot, and he's not going low in the D zone as much. He's able to do it. I wonder if he's a guy who just needs less ice time, Matthews. And listen, it's not about this playoff series. It's no excuse. He has normal minutes. But I just wonder if he's a guy who needs less ice time.
You better be really, really happy with the depth that you have underneath what's supposed to be your number one centerman to. I don't know how many top centermen need protection on their minutes.
Yeah. I agree.
You're talking about a 7-19, 7-21. If we're having a conversation on protecting minutes of your number one guy from 22 to 24 to 24 to 26, I'll have that conversation, but that's not Matthews right now. You're talking about bringing him down to 17 or 18 minutes.
No. If he played 19, 20 minutes would be good. Right now he's averaging 21 and a half, but that's with overtime.
And penalty kill.
Yeah.
That's another spot where you just
Well, they're just stressful seconds there, yeah, too, right?
He is 12th amongst eligible skaters for centers in the
like
NHL.
The PK is, you PK'd, stops and starts, and like it's just, it's exhausting mentally,
I PK'd
physically.
Enough for them to know they didn't want me out there on the PK.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But yes, I know it is exhausting.
Did you kill a lot?
I did in Hartford.
Yeah.
Did a little bit in New York, a tad, and Washington too, but. The minutes that I had in Hartford, it was like, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's not.
Just,
it's
straight lines.
The worst
and it's
job.
Stop and starts.
It's the worst job. Like, I actively would not want my coach to think I'm a good penalty.
Any
player.
Shorties in your career?
No.
Ah, oh, too bad.
No, zero. One power play goal.
Oh, that's pretty good. Special
maybe.
Team ace.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the last day and a half, 2 days on what you. People are talking about. I went on Gunner's show today out in Calgary.
Oh,
Rusick.
Rusick and Rose.
Yeah, Matt. And they're like, you know, what's wrong with Marner or Matthews? It was all Matthews this time, right? Mm-hmm. And where have you found the noise on him publicly?
I had
milk cartons. Those a lot of milk carton pictures right now.
I had someone pull their car over when I was walking my dog asking me about Matthews today.
Yeah.
really? You know. I would say the noise is loud. You know, people...
Louder than ever.
Louder than ever, for sure.
Well, yeah, he's the captain now.
Yeah. Well, and also...
Is
he's
that
just,
the difference?
No, to me, it's he's a 70-goal guy who has not scored.
Is it because
the
he's the
round.
Captain or because he's won the Rocket Richard 3 out of 5 years?
He's a massive goal scorer. He's not scoring goals. Yeah. I don't think this is what's
yeah,
all
sure.
overthinking, guys.
You're Berube-ing yeah. this. You're correct. That's
best
it.
Best goal scorer, not scoring. I think a lot of people are doing the Izzy Hurt thing. You know, that's the most common thing I hear. Something's up. Is he okay? Is it his wrist? Is it his back? Is it? That's what I hear the most of. And
which
I'm saying to people, I don't think so. But
of the 80% of the 100% of Leafs texts I get, let's say 75% of them are Matthews related. What's going on with Matthews? What's up with Matthews? Matthews, Matthews, Matthews. He just needs one to bounce in off him in game five here.
Tips. And like he's the 1 year he scored 69, he had 20 tip ins or deflections.
Yeah.
Like I haven't seen him anywhere.
I'm just
in that
looking
area.
For a real presence out of him. That's all. And I think, especially this year, they've proven that they can win without him actually scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to be determined if he gets one or not. But they've shown that they can win when he's not scoring goals, but he needs to have a presence in the hockey game as a top player, the Leafs' best player.
It tests the limits of your thing that I don't need him to score. I don't need him to score this man. I need him to score 30, score 40, you know, just like play D and pass the puck and do it. You know, we'll see how people are with that sort of thing if he doesn't shoot it in the net and he just plays D and passes the puck.
The one thing that I've liked, at least in the last 24 hours, is there's no question, at least in my opinion, but I'll get yours as well. Like when they lost the two in a row in Ottawa, we heard and they spoke of the outside noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, don't bring it up. Then do you think the outside noise is noisier now or when they lost two games to Ottawa?
I actually think it was team-wide noisier after Ottawa. Because it felt like they were going to pee down their leg and lose a winnable series to a lesser team because they folded. Here, it's like, I will say, Sam put out a poll before our show, and he asked people, like Leafs fans, how you feeling about the Leafs' chances of moving on? Great chance or no chance? And Sammy, do you have where that poll is at right now? I can just give you the, going into the show, was it 73% chance?
It's very positive.
Like, great chance.
Which I'm surprised by, but maybe that just says more about the people I have in my life than the direct reports I have
My point is the noise is not so much about the team. People feel okay about the team.
How do you compare the noise from the first to the second round?
I think what Borny kind of laid out there, but the potential, that game five at home where the ghosts looked like they had reappeared at home, first round, division, like you're one of your biggest rivals, historic rivals who you've played a bunch of times in the playoffs and won. Like there's just all these mitigating factors with the Ottawa Senators.
Nightmare scenario loomed.
Nightmare scenario loomed. But I think people generally, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, Kipper. I laid it out off the top of the show before we got into the dirt a little bit, into the mud. They're in a great spot. Like the Mud Boys, there you go. If you laid this out, like I said yesterday, if you laid this out before the season started, that in the second round of the playoffs, you were going to be in a best of three scenario with the defending Stanley Cup champions, with home ice advantage, what Leaf fan would not have signed up for that? This is what happens in the playoffs. You play great teams. They win a couple in a row. You don't look great in a couple of them. I understand all that, but I really do think that people need to kind of, and it seems like maybe they are, just bit of a zoom out and try to not put the history on top of this current team. Hey, they lose game five, I'm right down there in the muck with everybody. I totally understand. But right now, it's not the time to me.
I don't know if you guys saw Stuart Skinner after the Oilers game yesterday, but they said, you know, he gets a shutout and they go, how do you handle all the noise? And it was the most sincere. He goes, what noise? And everyone kind of laughs. And he was like, I don't, what noise? He goes, I don't know what's going on and I don't want to know. Like, he seemed like someone who genuinely had, like, detached from the outside world, and I was like, that's awesome.
I would think for sure Willie would be that guy on Toronto. Yeah. Where do you think Matthews is on that? You think he hears it or he doesn't hear it?
Oh, he hears it, buddy. Bieber's texting him. I'm not even joking when I say that. Like, he's, it's not coming.
Do you think Bieber listens to our show?
I think there's a good chance.
Hi, Biebs.
Hey, what's up, man? I think I...
He's writing music, man. He's making a gazillion dollars.
I hardly
he's got
fan.
No shot but at listening
he
to us.
Skipped the he skipped the Met Gala to watch the Leafs game. This guy loves the Leafs. I think he could be a listener. Shout out, Beefs, if you're listening.
But, you know, so it doesn't have to come through. He doesn't have to check Twitter or Instagram to be aware that people are like...
The Mel Carton would really bother me.
Well, I don't know. What are you talking about?
No. If he's sensitive to it.
But did something happen with the milk carton? Is he?
No, I'm just, I see him on the internet. There's just a lot of pictures of him on the milk, on the milk carton.
I mean, I've seen
missing,
him once.
Missing. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Then, like you said.
Yeah, well, that's stupid. The team's not here. They're not 2-2 without him. So that's stupid.
I just.
Needs to score. That's all.
I don't really care if he scores. I care if they win.
Wow.
I really don't.
Yeah, good.
If they win game 4-2 and he has 0 points, guess what I will be happy about?
Mm-hmm.
The victory. I want the wins, and they need him to score. If they want to win the cup and beat Florida, maybe they need him to score. Maybe they don't. He hasn't been scoring at his level, and they're 2-2 in the series with the defending Stanley Cup champions. So I don't know.
Maybe, fair point. Maybe he can get through Florida. Maybe he's red hot against the next team.
Maybe Maybe the Leafs lose two in a row and we're all sad again. I don't know, but I just want to be positive at this very moment. Right.
Do you guys want to get a thought on possibly Matthews and Marner breaking up before or after we hear from head coach Craig Berube?
Let's listen to the coach.
Yeah. Clip two.
Well, again, it's not all about scoring for me and for them. I mean, it's about the game. Playing 200 feet, doing all the little things that are needed to be done, you know. And, yeah, I've gone away from him for a bit, and, you know, I mean, it's fine, but it's not exactly what I want to see, so I put them back together. Okay. They've been a great pair for a long time.
God. So simple, eh?
And just need them to be a great pair next game.
Yeah.
Just do your job.
What game was it that Marner made the great pass to Matthews and he tucked against Ottawa? Was it
game... It's the one they lost in OT, wasn't it?
I remember.
I think it was game 4.
But, like, outside of that play, I can't remember them connecting on a play.
No.
Of note, of relevance.
What's that game? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Would you get the bingo bangle balls out and shuffle?
I don't think I would.
Nope.
I don't think I would. I like the idea of dance with the one who brought you here.
After the first period, if you don't like what you see?
Yeah, definitely. I'm
10 minutes?
I'm totally
12 minutes.
Into the idea that if it ain't working, we got to do something different. But I do think you give them the benefit of the doubt. They've at least earned that.
Yeah. There's a bit of talk about the Domi hit and the what they would be doing in response.
Can I tell you what I want to happen?
Nothing.
I want Florida to care about the Domi hit.
Here's what
I want them to chase him around. That is the exact Leaf you would like them to chase around because he can handle it.
Do you want to hear what the coach had to say about that very topic?
And you can take any one of them with him. Sure.
On clip 4 on guys targeting Max.
Well, I don't know. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Go after him. But Max has been around. Yeah, I get it. Like, it's emotions. You're getting, your emotions get high and things happen. That's part of the game, and we all know that. You know, he's going to be fine. Just go out and play his game and do his thing, and you can't worry about what somebody's, if there's going to be a reaction. You know, you just got to go and play. I don't know. I don't think there'll be a reaction, but I don't really have a whole lot to say on it.
I love it.
It never crossed my mind.
Well, and it's like, oh, what, Max, or sorry, Tkachuk's going to chase around Domi? Like, okay.
Yeah, or
at least he'll take that trade.
The internet made a big deal out of Tkachuk on Nylander, I'm going to get you, or at the end, it's like, oh my God, this stuff's been around for 100 years. It's yeah.
See the sneaky throat slash from Tkachuk on McMahon?
I heard about it.
Yeah.
I heard Bunk talk about it.
He
gave it a little.
He did it. Yeah, he did.
You know, okay,
buddy.
I'm
actually not allowed to speak about the Florida Panthers anymore because the amount of you big baby DMs I got yesterday.
Ooh. That was just from me and JB. Yeah.
Oh boy.
I don't know what else you got, but that was us sending you those messages.
I took a big baby beating yesterday, boys.
Yes,
so I'm done with the talking about the Panthers. I don't want anybody pissed off.
I'd rather you talk about the Panthers than the refs, I can tell you that.
The Tkachuk thing, you want to hear the clip from Berube? He got asked about it.
Sure.
Tkachuk versus Nylander.
Tkachuk seemed like he was trying to get into the head of William Nylander at the end of game four. You had talked previously in the series about you just leave him alone. And
yeah.
You're pretty confident that he can take that kind of mental game.
Who, 88?
Yeah.
He probably didn't even hear him. He doesn't hear me.
Everyone's so like...
It's Willie.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We've said that you've hated that at times, where you're like, gives Willie a pass.
I knew you would hate that. You're like, oh yeah.
That's fine.
You just wish your beloved Marner got the same.
Just don't want the season to end on Willie just waiting for, you know, getting rested up for another breakaway attempt and standing in his own zone while they fill the net. That's all.
Just leave him alone.
They would have scored one goal in every game if it wasn't for him. So I'm going to give him a bit of a leeway.
Give him a pass.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He is Willie.
Maurice was more engaged today, boys.
Okay.
He was definitely more willing to talk.
Did he sleep?
Yeah.
He was a good meal?
I got to tell you, I don't know if I said this on air yesterday. Yesterday, he was crotchety. Didn't want to be there, was giving up nothing. But today he was way better.
Well, listen, he probably heard you crying.
It gave him life.
let's play game, Paul Maurice clip 3 on game 5. It's a great clip.
I think this is true of both teams. It's 82 games is a grinder for you. And then in each series, as you hit the game 5 mark, it's clearly, well, not always, but a 2 out of 3 or an elimination game in game 5. So I think the intensity amps up, not just because of the urgency of the moment. The understanding is that there's, for one of two really, really good teams, there's only 2 or 3 games left in your season, right? It either ends in game 6 or it ends in game 7. So that kind of, there's nothing to save it for idea. You see the energy amp up.
Love that.
It's scary, right? Like, you know, within four or five days.
When you put it that way.
I agree with him. There's a cut line between 4 and 5 where I can do something stupid and there's still time to kind of make up for it.
And not anymore.
That's interesting.
Not anymore. And it goes to, like, Panthers don't have time to go get revenge on Max Domi.
No.
They got to shoot the puck in the net.
There's not a chance that they're going to do anything stupid to him or try for retribution, because you are now past that line where what you do now from 5 to 7 can end your season. So I think it'll settle down. I think the attention to detail will even be greater from both clubs. And it's going to be a tight one here.
Sammy, in game time today, we're going to need numbers on unders, like under 2.5 for the Leafs.
Goal totals?
Yeah.
So both of you guys are feeling a low one.
I just don't think there's going to be any room out there.
And we'll see on Bobrovsky. The tendency early was for him to give up goals on early shots. Didn't happen last game. Wall settled in too. I think there's a real chance that we could see some low-scoring games here.
I got to tell you, watching the Oilers fall all over and into Adin Hill last night,
yeah,
I was like, that's pretty good playoff style.
Talk about it a bit in the National Hour, but people have been like, oh, Kane was pushed. Yeah, but then he also, like, yeah, like give me a break. He was pushed a bit.
Green light.
But that's you. Yeah, exactly.
You feel it.
You feel the push.
Then you go,
like, oh,
here we go. You know who you're talking to?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Right? Green light.
Yeah. Can't push a guy near
quickly
a goalie.
Before we go to break, first thing, Stolarz, mini update here. Just a quick question off the back of it. Number one, clip one, please.
Yeah, he's progressing. You know, he's on the ice a little bit, so he's doing much better.
Do you have a sense of a best-case scenario for when he might be able to play again?
No, not right now. I don't know.
So imagine he had there is a protocol on concussions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think he fell under it for, 7 days.
At this point, and I'm adamant on this, if he was ready to play tonight, you wouldn't play him until Wall gave you reason to.
Correct.
I totally disagree.
Oh, yeah.
If he was ready to go, you'd play him.
Yeah.
He was your starter. I don't know. Maybe not.
Wall made 35 of 37 and looked great last game. This guy had a head injury. You don't know what he's going to come back and look like.
I'll tell you what no one's talking about right now when it comes to Joseph Wall is that Florida, I know, is putting pucks in places where they know that Joseph Wall cannot handle the puck.
Yeah.
Okay? And if it's one thing that I'd still be nervous about is that Joseph does not handle the puck anywhere near the way Stolarz has, and it's really affected their ability to get out of their zone.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if we played the clip yesterday. I read the clip anyway. I read the quote from Berube who said, they're putting the puck a lot of places, not on the ground. He said they're putting it in the air against the glass. He's trying to get out and play it, but it's been hard.
He's not good at it.
No,
He looks like Reimer playing the puck.
And everybody, especially Florida, knows it, and it's had a negative effect on how clean the Leafs are getting out.
Yeah. Totally.
I think it's a case of like one of those. So I don't think he's great at it either, but I don't think he's bad at it. He had the one that was terrible and that really brought it to people's attention.
Oh, he almost, I mean, the one
he had a couple of hiccups last game too.
He did.
Start of the third period, he goes, and game three goes behind the net and deflects it right out in front of the net to Lundell and he missed.
The problem is you lose confidence in it and it affects the way you go back and get pucks.
I'm with you. It's definitely part of
the zone. So. I don't know what can change. You just get him to stay in his net a little bit more. I don't know what the case is.
He did it all year long. He's good. Go do better. Have a better game at it.
So just to wrap up on that, Joseph Wall, you hope that he doesn't have to give them a hard decision to make in game six.
Mm-hmm. Quickly before we go to break, boys, a reminder to golf.
Hey, did you guys?
We got to go.
Okay, hold on. Did you see my drive on the weekend?
No. Was that the ninth at Rosedale? The short
the ninth
one
on Rosedale. One of the pros asked if he could tape my swing, and I put it on the internet. And Gibby, my neighbor, did the play-by-play on it.
Yeah,
Derek, do we have it?
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Here we go. Oh, did you hear the sound of that? Listen to Gibby.
Right on the flag. Get over the bunker and land right in the hole. Hit the flag. Hit the top of the flag. Hit the actual flag.
Wow.
Boom. That's Nance right there.
I can't believe we played
What just happened?
That was awesome.
Hold on.
That's the highlight of the show.
Okay. Right into your goal kit.
That's nice swing. That's your natural shade. Okay, baby fade? Baby fade is his natural.
Okay, a reminder to golf fans out there, Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort have come together with an amazing contest. Text the word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to golf at one of Canada's top 10 ranked courses with a night in an incredible three-bedroom villa for you and three friends. Just text the word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to win Visit sportsnet.ca/findnannycontest for more details. Standard message and data rates may apply.
That shape might work at Muskoka Bay.
Hey, we gotta go.
It's an off day. There's plenty of time for golf and hockey. All right. We're making Gordo wait here.
Yeah, he's gonna be so
Gord
pissed.
Stelic, Stelictricity. When we return, Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, let's go to Gord Stelic, who just minutes ago missed my President George Bush moment where
Now watch me hit this drive.
I call an end to terrorism. Now watch this drive.
We played one of his golf shots on the show, Gord. Here we go.
I'm calling an end to the Leafs losing streak. Now watch this drive. How are you, pal?
I'm great. Now, I'm hearing Ryan Reynolds and Tim Hortons. Like, in your day, did you have riders in your claws, Kippy? You were big stuff there. You have your own dressing room. Did you have no red M&Ms or something like that? Like, what, do you have those kind of things?
Yeah, right here in this studio now. It's called JB's chocolate drawer.
Yeah, I'm here to provide what he needs in form of chocolate.
So what's the scoop on the golf shot? Like the golf shot, what was it? Like a beautiful drive it looked like. So what was it, like 300-yard drive or what?
I think 260, drivable nice. Par 4, and I hit the flag. What, nice. Sam?
Wow.
You okay?
There's a drop of some guys like, enough with the golf, Sammy. Enough with the golf, Kipper. Enough with the game 5 in the second round. Enough with the golf.
Gordo, it's an off day. Like, we need filler here, you know? And you're here to do the same thing for us. Insulting. So give us your thoughts on the last two games. And I assume you're as optimistic as our Sammy here that it's a best of three and you've got one at home here, 2 out of 3 at home. Still in feeling good, correct?
Well, first of all, I can't believe how honored I am to join you on filler day, as you just mentioned. So thank you very much for that. I did on 680 News see that Doug Ford has made all mental health counselors go back to work the next 2 days. He's canceled all vacations and any kind of sick days to help with the general populace. Kippy, you did it in 1994. And sometimes people say, stop going back to that. No, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed what you guys accomplished there in 2025. So the talking's got to be done on the ice. It's the best 2 out of 3, and they have home ice advantage. And it's up to the players. But there's a weird vibe that you're tied 2-2, and the Sammy McKees of the world feel like you're down 3-2. It's just a weird vibe. And they've, you know, because it's like that play, same time next year, same time this year, whatever the hell it was. We've had enough of it. We don't want to see that. Didn't even like it the first time. So the talking has to be done on the ice. So I am remaining optimistic because things do appear a little bit different this year. When they're up, you know, up 3-2 to Ottawa, people started feeling that way. They won game 6. So I feel that they're up to this particular challenge.
I asked the guys before the show here, I said, you know, what percentage chance do you give the Leafs of winning this series? Is you got 49%, you know, because the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup? Is it 51% because the Leafs have home ice? Is it something wildly different from that? Or are you just 50-50 on the things at this point, Gord?
Okay, so Justin, first of all, that stat that said when they won 2 that Florida had a 13.7% chance, I believe that's if you go down 0-2. I said, no. No, that's out the window. 2025 for the Florida Panthers. So I'm not surprised. They squandered a chance to put a bit of a dagger in there. Where I'm at, Justin, and I don't know, Kippy seems to be ahead of the queue for me in Toronto Star columns. Like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, oh, Kippy's doing this, Rosie's doing this, Damien's doing this. You know, maybe you could cover high school hockey or something, throw me a bone or something. So I believe... And it got spiked by Dave, our guy, Kippy, the editor. I respect him. But I more and more, I look at that Roger, we've talked about it, the Roger Federer Dartmouth commencement speech that he won over 80% of his matches, which we knew, but he won 54% of his points, which stunned everybody. So 54 to 46 made that difference. That made the difference in Game 7 overtime last year. David Pastrnak seizing the opportunity. So I'm not giving you an odds answer. Mm-hmm. I'll say 50-50, Justin, to be fair. Okay? They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. Got to treat them with respect. But to me, the key is it'll come down to it again. Like, really? You know, it's this close. So when we're talking after Game 6 or Game 7, like, that team, it'll be, to me, an incremental edge about doing things right and not doing things wrong, which has not been the Leafs' MO the last number of playoffs, and hopefully can change this playoff.
Yeah, you got something there, Kip?
No,
sorry.
I got nothing.
Okay, we were talking about lineup changes before you came on, Gordon. We were looking at Nick Robertson and David Kampf on the outside looking in. I will say, a commercial break, Sammy made a passionate plea for McMahon to come out and Robertson to come in. Where are you and these two guys sitting in the press box that they used with real consistency for most of the season?
Well, Sammy makes a passionate plea when he's ordering McDonald's. Okay, so
he's all passion.
You know, like, he is passion, which we love about him. Again, you know, Justin and Kippy. By the way, Kippy, everything good? Did your pacemaker go off or something? Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to get a hold of the guys at the Toronto Star. Maybe I can get you as a food critic. You know, maybe we'll start with Deontay's Fiesta.
So anyway, last night, you look what Knobloch did. Like, who expected that? You know, the number one goal scorer in the NHL, you know, puts with Pod Colson. 10th overall pick, right? The guy, man, anyway, playing a different role and capping it. Go up against Eichel's line. Now, he played other shifts too. Okay, but give you two fourth-line wingers. You're trying something different. You know, and what Berube did with Pacioretty stunned me, and it worked out great, putting him in the top two lines. And that, again, we go back to what he did in St. Louis. I remain a Nick Robertson advocate. You know, I'm not a Pontus Holmberg. I don't belong to his fan club. So again, if you're going to make some tweaks, yes, I'd be fine with it. Be fine with it. It's a little thing. It's going to be the big guns that still are going to matter if you're going to win it all. But that's where we think Berube, it's not a magic touch. It's an educated touch from being there. So I'm open to whatever he's looking at, and he's got to be looking at stuff. Mm-hmm.
You're watching and listening to Gord Stellick, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So, Gord, it's almost a given, either Marner or Matthews or Nylander, like, someone's taking heat this time of year when they don't put the puck in the net at the rate that Leaf fans are wanting or accustomed to. And yet we know the game changes here and it gets tougher to put the puck in the net here. Is it warranted? Is it not warranted? The criticism these guys get, is it as simple as, hey, you make $13 million, it comes with the territory?
So, as you know, the money doesn't matter, you know, when it comes to it. It does come with the territory, whatever, about, you know, winning a hockey game. And if you're one of the top scorers and getting all kinds of ice time, and, you know, I look at the special teams. So started that game against Ottawa, just, what, 3 goals in 19 seconds? And all of a sudden, like Sunday, the Florida, like, again, the four penalties were a killer. It was a different kind of loss, but you never got going. Your power play never got going. Their PK was better. So, yeah, the best two scorers have been Tavares and Matthew Nyes, and everybody else has to get going. Whether it's the 54%, I'm not going to always bring that number in, but, yeah. You know, and it's different than last year when they only got more than 2 goals once in 7 games against Boston and stretched that out to 7. They've actually scored more. Mm-hmm. And they just need more from those guys. And they need the odd. Like Joe Wall kept them in the game Sunday. And he gave you a chance. Like, if your goaltender could steal a game in a playoff series, that's a bonus. And he gave them that. And they squandered that. Friday was a different kind of loss. They squandered a 2-0 lead. And there's all kinds of little breakdowns you can analyze there. But, you know, they were screwed on Sunday, and he kept them in the game. Now, Florida's not easy to beat. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't a cakewalk, but you never got going. You never got going. Like you said, wow, this guy has kept us in the game. We're only down by one. It's like you look, oh, my God, Florida Panthers. When they lead after one period, they never lose. When they lead after 2 periods, right, they never lose. We're screwed. No. Playoffs are different. You got to think different.
Yep, they had a chance there. So if you talk to a lot of Leaf fans, you know, of the themes of this series, a lot of people are upset that Florida takes cheap shots. You know, this sort of like, Sammy's like, are you talking about me?
You can just say me.
It's not just you, though. Yeah. That is a theme. Do you think this matters? Do you think it's impactful? Do you think this is just a sort of a subplot that people are reading too much into as being impactful?
Yeah, subplot. Just like, you know, before he got addressed Wayne Simmons or Ryan Reeves, you know, it's a subplot.
Yep.
It's a subplot. It hasn't come to that. And, you know, Craig Berube, I think, states his case well. I don't know if it scores you points, but just that, hey, that elbow on Mitch Marner was way worse. We'll never really know. I mean, the Leafs are pissed because they feel Stolarz, you know, whether it was a Sam Reinhart shot, but they're going to blame it on the Bennett hit. They're going to blame the cheap shot on Tavares. So they kind of look at it as 3-0. And that's where, like, I'm glad Barkov didn't get hurt. I don't like anyone to get hurt, to be clear. But I did like Max Domi. That's exactly a little bit at an end of a game. Just kind of, we're pissed off, whatever. Keep in mind, whatever.
Oh, I like
that.
I like the OEL hit on Rodriguez.
Beautiful.
Who ran Tavares' head into
hilarious.
The glass.
Yeah. Everyone agrees.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Ex-teammates. And so, but Kippy, as you know, we don't talk about your championship, about a fight or something like that. It's best 2 out of 3 now. If it becomes a distraction, then you're screwed, okay? But it's kind of like Florida plays that game. And the Leafs have shown both Ottawa and Florida that's a bit different this year. They've got more of that in them, and that's great. But you need the big gun scoring goals because at the end you get the most penalty minutes. That doesn't decide whether you win the game or not.
Good start will help, eh? At home?
Well, yeah. No, and you know what? This one thing, they have made home ice. Like, they had a ridiculous home playoff record, negative. So there's a lot of positives that they have corrected, you know, this season. And, you know, again, but it would be crushing. It wouldn't be crushing to have lost this series. It would have been disappointing. But to have a 2-0 lead and a 2-0 lead in game 3, you're sort of bringing those demons up back again. So, yes, a strong start, which they've done in many of the playoff games. They've done this. So, yes, the time is now. The time is now. Do it. Get it.
Let me know what other hobbies you have so I can suggest to the Toronto Star you can write an article. Like, do you like cars, mechanical stuff? Maybe you could write about where to get a good oil change in the city.
You know, Kippy, I think bowling is a very underrated sport.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, like Nelson Burton Jr. and, you know, people like that. So I think maybe, and how the lanes were oiled in the Akron, Ohio, the Firestone thing every Saturday with Chris Schenkel. I got to find something because, you know, it's just, it's like finding a date to the prom. I got nobody. The prom's next week. I got turned down 20 times.
Listen, you know, I'll find you a cousin. Don't worry.
My God.
I want Justin to check it out first, okay? That's all, okay? Yes, with Justin's blessing.
This guy, W.C. Hines over here, right? The death of a racehorse in Toronto Star every week.
Rabbit, huh?
That is.
Thanks, Gord.
Stellectricity.
Thanks. Kippy's going to ruin my, like, one thing. I'm on the filler show. He's going to get me a bowling column. He's going to get a second cousin twice removed to go to the prom. Like, what a 15 minutes.
Who do you think you are? I am.
That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
What a drop.
Attaboy, Gord. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, my friend.
Gordo.
Will do.
Oh, my God. That was too funny.
I love that guy, man.
He really.
He puts up with you. That's what he does.
Oh, I'm talking about the bowling guy.
I used to be on during college a lot, like during the day when I'd skip class.
My college years, poker was on every channel.
A lot of bowling, a lot of beers and bowling in the daytime at college.
Oh, he rolled it out to the right and it came back.
I think it was Chris Webber was the stud. Maybe that's not the right name.
Actually, I remember that.
Chris Webber is also a basketball player, but I think it was Chris Webber who was a great bowler. Anyways.
In the next hour, as we go national, Steve Valiquette for his Tuesday regularly scheduled appearance.
Nice.
We'll continue our theme on the goaltenders.
Pete Weber.
For those of you Leaf fans, Joseph Woll, can he get the job done? Valley's got some interesting insight into Joseph Woll now going into game 5. So plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.